The scripture that Reverend Diane will be bringing her message on today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. This is the NRSV. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, in a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. This is the word of our Lord.
Well, it was Christmas Eve, and I was 8 years old, and I had walked to my home church 3 blocks away from my house, Southside Christian Church in Toledo, Ohio, to be part of the Christmas pageant. Finally, it was my turn to be the angel instead of a lamb or a star or a shepherd. The service went on as services do. Carols were sung, scripture was read, choirs sang, the preacher preached, and the children acted out the nativity scene, and then we sat wiggling in our seats, eagerly awaiting the time when we could finally go home to await the arrival of Santa and presents. Well, it was finally time to leave. The church door was pushed open, and there was a collective gasp as we looked out the door to see that several inches of snow had fallen, and the entire world seemed to be covered with a holy blanket of blessing. I walked those 3 blocks back home that night alone, and the silence of the falling snow, the sparkle of the crystals in the light of the stars, the memory, the recent words of Christmas that we had just sung, read, acted out, and heard, lifted up, gave me a feeling of such great peace, hope, joy, love. If I've ever heard the voice of God speak to me, it was in those moments when I heard in my mind God say to me, "I'm with you, Diane, and I'll be with you always." It's a moment in time. I will never forget it, and it has fueled my soul ever since. John O'Donohue says it this way: time is eternity in disguise. There are moments in our human experiences of time and life where we deeply know eternity in a moment. Can you call up one of those moments in your lives? Moments when we often say about them, time was like it stood still. Maybe that's our way of acknowledging eternity, timelessness in that moment. As you looked in the face of your newborn baby or one you deeply love, As you stood on the edge of the seashore or high on a mountain and taking in the wonder of creation and life itself. As you experienced a moment of triumph in your personal life, achieving a success you thought might be impossible. As Christmas time deepens, as a new year begins, we pause to deeply know that time is eternity in disguise. And we can experience this moment, this day, as sacred space. Perhaps that's why we join together in worship at the beginning of each week, to remember that all moments are sacred. A glimpse of a new year, a new time, reveals the extraordinary, which is always in our midst, but that our daily lives too often conceal and cause us to neglect it. You know, we have been given immense possibilities, and we desperately need to make time in our entangled lives to let our souls breathe. It's really important to care for ourselves in such a way that we can take in those moments, see what God is doing in our midst, and then reach out in the name of the one who came to be God with us to ease the suffering of our brothers and sisters in the world. There is a time for everything under heaven. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, I've seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He's made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he's put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from beginning to the end. I don't know if you know anything about the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes that we read from today, but that writer struggles with the meaning of life and whether God even exists. Some scholars wonder how Ecclesiastes was even chosen to be a part of the canon in the Bible, in the books of Scripture, and scholars have debated long and hard about its rightful place. Because there's a tone of skepticism, even though the words we read today were hopeful, there is a tone of skepticism in that book where the writer says, everything is vanity. It's pointless. It's ultimately meaningless. And happiness, while worth striving for, is very difficult to attain. One of the ways that the writer says it many times, there is no new thing under the sun, the author tells us. No, nothing new under the sun. This is at once pessimistic. Everything worth doing seems already to have been achieved before by someone else. But oddly, it can be reassuring too, for once you accept this truth, it becomes more difficult to be either surprised or appalled by anything the world throws at us. Do you think they had midlife crisis in ancient biblical times? Apparently so, it would seem. And still, the very act of struggling that the writer goes through offers a kind of embedded, primitive hope that this pessimism can be disputed. Show me what I'm missing, he practically cries out. I can relate sometimes. Can you? Time is on his mind, and imagining how to best use it is his struggle. Time, it's precious. Ask the coach whose team is behind in the final seconds of a game. Ask the air traffic controller in charge of scheduling takeoffs and landings at a major airport. Ask the news reporter who's just received a breaking story. Ask the cancer patient who just learned he has only months to live. This new year, it beckons us. And it is about time. It is about time. Life is about time and how we will spend the moments allotted to each of us. If I told you that your savings account was increased by $52 million, boy, how would you feel about that? You might think either the bank has made a serious error or that life would be very different from now on, and likely better. Call David Bromstadt, the host of Lottery Dream Home. Call the travel agent, call your boss, close the office. It's time to start imagining how our life could be happier, more meaningful, more full. Well, in fact, your life account has been credited with 52 million minutes this year, at least for most of us. And yet we don't usually take the time to imagine what we will do with this precious gift we are given. Henry Nouwen, a Catholic priest and mystic, writes this: "We must learn to live each day, each hour, yes, each minute, as a new beginning, as a unique opportunity to make everything new. Imagine that we could live each moment as a moment pregnant with new life. Imagine that we could live each day as a day full of promise. Imagine that we could walk through the new year, always listening to the voice saying to us, 'I have a gift for you, and can't wait to see what you see when you open it.' Imagine." Can you imagine 52 million minutes and what you might do with them this year? Sean Dietrich is a writer, a blogger, a novelist from the South whose father died by suicide when Sean was 12 years old. And so, of course, Sean struggled with life and its meaning. And as the new year approached, this year, he wrote about an experience that changed his perspective. I'd like to share it with you. It was the day before New Year's Eve this week. And he says this: "I was struck in Birmingham rush hour, and there was a line of standstill traffic stretched before me. The Dodge truck beside me towed a horse trailer, and inside was a white horse staring at me from her open window, chewing a mouthful of alfalfa. You might not care about this, but as a boy, I was obsessed with horses. I grew up around horse people. I rode some. I wasn't any good. Even so, I was always thinking about horses, drawing pictures of horses in notebooks, reading novels like National Velvet and My Friend Flicka. All these memories came back to me while looking at that horse. She ate her dinner, sniffling the breeze, cheerfully watching the passing 18-wheelers, the UPS trucks, the public transit buses, the Porsches, the giant SUVs. And I fell in love with that horse right there," he says. "The horse had other admirers in traffic too. There were teenagers in the Nissan ahead of me rolling down their windows to greet her. 'Hey, horsey,' they howled. Soon everyone in traffic was staring at these obnoxious teenagers who tried wildly to get the horse's attention. After watching the teenagers for a few minutes, I decided I had never seen behavior so ridiculous and immature in all my life, and I wanted to be part of it. So I cranked down my window and joined them. And do you know what? No sooner had I rolled down my window than I discovered other adult motorists were doing the same thing I was doing. An older man in a nice suit driving a Land Rover Defender was speaking to the horse. A young woman in a newer model VW Bug was blowing kisses. An old couple in a Jeep Wrangler was trying desperately to get the horse to notice them. And for a brief moment in time, several humans from very different backgrounds, creeds, income tax brackets shared something in common. We were all acting like idiots for a horse. Traffic moved slowly onward, and I eventually lost sight of the livestock trailer. But during my commute, I began to notice the many varying hues news of my fellow travelers. I saw a young guy in a souped-up Cadillac with a stereo system emitting bass notes loud enough to affect the climate. I saw the young couple having a heated argument in their Kia. I noticed the van of the work release inmates, each man absently gazing out his window with the weight of the universe on his back. I saw an ambulance cutting through traffic, sirens screaming, off to save a life. I pulled alongside a minivan full of children. Behind the tinted windows were childish bodies gyrating and singing at the tops of their voices. The driver, God love him, was a middle-aged dad. And even though dear old dad was probably exhausted, he was actually singing along with his children full blast. Greater love hath no man than to sing with his kids. For some reason, I started thinking about all the highway games I used to play with my mother during road trips as a boy. I thought about how my mother and I used to sing with the radio a lot. I thought about how we were so close after my father died because we were all we had. Then I started thinking about how much older I'm getting. Yesterday was my birthday. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. And in mere hours, it will be 2022. Sometimes it feels like time is speeding up. Sometimes I wonder how a stiff-jointed middle-aged man took over my life. Every moment that passes, I get one moment older. And each year that I complete, I am one more year removed from that little kid who used to draw horses in his notebook. Thoughts like this are enough to make you feel nostalgic, perhaps even a little sad at times. But then something happens to you. You look around yourself in traffic and you see things. You see dads singing with their children. You see young couples who love each other enough to argue about it on the freeway. There are inmates who, even though they have every right to give up and quit living, don't. There are gajillions of ordinary people just like you and me driving average cars, waking up every morning and doing the best they can. There are people out there who sometimes, for no explainable reason, become so overwhelmed with the world's beauty that they can think of nothing better to do than to wave at a pretty horse. I don't care what they say. It's gonna be a great year. We've all been given a fortune of time. We will not always use it wisely. We will sit too much, eat too much, spend more time wondering what life is really about. But then a thought occurs to us, like it did to me on that walk home that Christmas Eve. Like it did to Sean as he drove through traffic. Just to enjoy the moments of beauty that God puts in our path. Like the writer of Ecclesiastes, who sees, even in his pessimism, the value of using our time wisely. You know, I believe that when we have these ideas that come to us that are new to us or something that springs into our mind, these are consecrated ideas and thoughts and feelings, holy ones, given to us. It's part of the way that God speaks to us. They're consecrated imaginings that lead us to live more fully. And I want to tell you, you know, I love to read what we all write on Facebook together, for often there are those thoughts that are unique and beautiful and holy that come forth. And one of our own, Greg Altabella, posted one of these sometime in the last week or so, and I did ask permission from him to read the Facebook post that he put on his page this week before New Year's. And so here it is, a gift from him, and maybe from God, to all of us. He writes, I was just thinking this morning that in the season of setting resolutions, how wonderful it would be if we directed our efforts away from ourselves and toward making changes on how we care about and treat others the way that God intends us to. Have a nice day, he says. Indeed, there are inmates, there are immigrants who need healing, not punishment or threats. There are homeless, there are the hopeless that need direction and purpose. There are the sick, there are the grieving who need to know they are not alone. There are the starving, there are the war-torn who are desperate for finding safety and a chance for life itself. In this new year, may we spend our fortune of time tending God's purposes and enjoying the small gifts of life that God gives us.